And a very pleasant good morning, everybody. As always, good to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind, and yesterday afternoon at Lone Depot Park in Miami, the Marlins and the Orioles were wrapping up a brief two-game set. Trevor Rogers looking for his second win of the season. So, too, was the left-hander for Baltimore, Bruce Zimmerman. I had the recap for you after a terrific afternoon for baseball and of baseball for Miami.
A quick and easy 2 hours and 42 minutes inside Lone Depot Park this afternoon. That's how long it took for the Marlins to put together a quick and tidy 3-0 victory over the Baltimore Orioles to wrap up a five-game homestand and a two-game set with the O's. They split this two-game series, and now the Marlins will board a plane here in the next hour and change and make the, what is that, five-and-a-half-hour trip out west to Oracle Park in San Francisco, where they will tangle up with the Giants starting tomorrow night at 9:45. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Welcome to the 10th Inning Show. Good to be with you, and it is a good day for the Marlins after a 3-0 win over Baltimore. A sensational start for Trevor Rogers. His best to date in the big leagues. 7 strong innings this afternoon. Did not allow a run. Allowed just 4 hits. Walked 1, struck out 8 through 82 pitches. Down the road here, folks, Rogers will probably be willing and able to go another inning. Probably was today. No need to push it. They used Floro and Garcia to wrap things up in the 8th and the 9th inning. 82 pitches, 60 strikes, a career-high 7 innings for Trevor Rogers in this ballgame this afternoon, and he improves to 2-1 on the season. Bruce Zimmerman, the loser in this ballgame today. 1 win and 2 losses now for Zimmerman this season, and Garcia capped off the 9th, and he collected his 4th consecutive save. Highlights from this ballgame this afternoon, there were none. Zimmerman and Rogers were going toe-to-toe, 0-for-0 through the first 4.5 innings this afternoon. But the Marlins got things started in the bottom of the 5th inning. Leading off the bottom of the 5th, Sandy Leone had his contract selected from the alternate training site early this morning, maybe late last night. Jorge Alfaro on the injured list. Sandy had a terrific afternoon. He went 2-for-3 at the plate. One of the two singles started the bottom of the 5th inning. The Marlins at one point had the leadoff man on in 5 of the first 6 innings. But anyway, bottom of the 5th inning this afternoon. Leone singled to left field. Trevor Rogers came to bat. Dropped down a nice bunt back towards the mound. You're thinking, okay, sack bunt. Leone advances to second. But wait a minute. Leone actually went first to third on the sacrifice bunt. A heads-up piece of base running by Leone on the sacrifice bunt by Trevor Rogers. Leone was at third with one out. Jazz Chisholm followed. He struck out swinging. It looked like Zimmerman might get himself out of a pickle in the bottom of the 5th inning, but not before Miguel Rojas walked, and that set up an opportunity for Jesus Aguilar with runners on the corners and 2 outs. Pitch count at 80. Here's the pitch. Hammered left center field, going back. Hayes, it's going to roll to the wall. 1 scores. Rojas is flying. Hillman sends him home. It's a 2-out, 2-run double for Jesus Aguilar, and the Marlins have a 2-0 lead here in the 5th. And come to find out, that would be all the Marlins needed this afternoon. But Adam Duvall followed with Cole Sulcer on the mound. Zimmerman done after 4 2/3. Brandon Hyde yanked him in the bottom of the 5th inning. Duvall followed and added a little insurance. 2 balls and 2 strikes the count. Aguilar, 1 big hop off the bag at second base. Sulcer delivers the pitch. Line drive. Left field, base hit. Aguilar around third. He's going to score. It's another 2-out base knock for Adam Duvall and the Marlins. And now it's 3-0. And that is all Trevor Rogers needed. He said, thank you. I'm good. I got it, fellas, from here on out. Trevor worked 7 strong innings this afternoon. Boy, he didn't have himself in a pickle anywhere. He left 4 guys on base all day. He allowed 4 hits, scattered 1 in the 2nd, 3rd, 1 in the 5th, 1 in the 7th inning. And it was smooth sailing for Trevor Rogers this afternoon. Dylan Floro came on for Rogers, and he put together a 1-2-3 8th inning. Got a couple of ground balls and 1 line drive to right field. Bottom of the 9th inning, top of the 9th inning this afternoon. Yimmy Garcia on, looking to collect his 4th save of the season. Nobody on, 2 out, and Michael Franco, the former Philly, at the plate.
A win for the Orioles will put them at 8-9 as they head to San Francisco. The pitch and a ball bounced past Yimmy, charged by Jazz, has it, throws to first, and that's the ball game. 4-3, A 1-2-3 ninth for Yimi Garcia.
And a quick and easy 1-2-3 ninth inning for Yimi Garcia. Collects his fourth consecutive save for the Marlins this season. That back end of the Marlins bullpen starting, maybe not starting, it has taken shape. Floro in the eighth, Garcia in the ninth. Anthony Bass has started to put things together. So the bullpen that the Marlins envisioned is really starting to round into form, and things work out perfectly for the Marlins this afternoon. Seven strong innings for the big left-hander. Rodgers, eight strikeouts this afternoon, and a win over the San Francisco, hopefully a win over the San Francisco Giants tomorrow night, but a 3-0 quick and easy win over the Baltimore Orioles this afternoon. Final score, 3-0. Eight strikeouts for Rodgers, one for Garcia. That means that $225 will be donated to AutoNation's Drive Pink Initiative to fight against cancer. For every strikeout this season, $25 will be donated to the Drive Pink Initiative. So Rodgers out duels Zimmerman this afternoon to wrap up this two-game set. Marlins and the Orioles split the set. Final score this afternoon, it was the Marlins 3 and the Orioles nothing. A tidy 3-0 win for Miami over the Baltimore Orioles yesterday afternoon, a career high. Seven shutout innings for Trevor Rodgers, who I had an opportunity to catch up with after the ballgame.
Okay, joining us this afternoon's winning pitcher and the starting pitcher. Seven terrific innings. Trevor Rodgers, congratulations on what was your best major league start to date. How did that feel?
Yeah, I felt real great. You know, all my pitches really working. Sandy did an unbelievable job out there. Thanks, guys. So a lot of credit to him, and he did an amazing job out there. Really stayed balanced in my delivery and executed pitches when I needed to.
You stayed balanced in your delivery, but it also looked, Trevor, like you were working quickly, efficiently, and with a purpose. Was that a point of emphasis for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Tempo is always a big thing for me. You know, if I can really stay on attack, really not kind of slow the game down, really just keep the tempo up. That's always a game plan going out.
Hey, how comfortable were you working with Sandy? Was that difficult, or did you get enough of an opportunity to work with him this spring?
No, I didn't have much time this spring, but I mean, he has a lot of time up here. He's very knowledgeable, so he did an unbelievable job. He made my job a lot easier. Took a lot of the thinking out of it. So a lot of my outing goes to Sandy.
Trevor, before we let you go, what was the big difference maker for you today? I mean, they say the fastball changeup is the best combination in baseball. You used it a lot today, but this was your best start to date. What was working so well?
Yeah, just like you said, fastball changeup combination really, really helped. And then on top of that, getting the slider over for a strike when I needed to. So I really had all three pitches working, all four quadrants, and big thing, I got ground balls when I needed to as well.
Congratulations on the victory, Trevor. Safe travels out to San Francisco tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was Marlins left-hander Trevor Rodgers after an impressive seven shutout innings against the Orioles yesterday. Before we wrap things up, let's hear from the manager, Don Mattingly.
Okay, folks. Sure, okay. Yeah, we got everybody in. All right. Go ahead. Kelly Sacco, can we get started?
Thanks, Jason. Donnie, how impressed were you by Sandy on such short notice?
No, Sandy's been, he's solid. He's a guy back there that you see him, he's calm. You know, the game's not speeding up at all. We've seen it all spring. He was really a leader in spring. He speaks up. He was with us on the last trip. That's why we took him, when to take him on the taxi the last trip. He's been around the club other than about 5 days. So he's really been a part of it the whole time, and he has a really good feel for our staff. So, yeah, he was good, though.
How comfortable are you guys with just his veteran big league experience?
No, I'm comfortable with Sandy. I mean, I remember when we signed Sandy, I got a text from a guy that had managed him and was like, you're going to love this guy, you know, behind the plate, and everything he does back there. So, yeah. So we're good with Sandy.
All right, Jordan.
Hey, Donia. Trevor, another really good outing from him. What did you see from him today and just the continued build that he's been having this season?
Yeah, I felt like he stayed on the attack today. These guys are pretty good fastball hitting club. You got to get the ball to certain spots to play. It looked like he attacked that. Then was able to use his changeup. You know, he had a changeup going a little bit. But, you know, basically locating that heater a lot and enough off speed to make him think about it. He's been good. This guy's been on a, you know, I've kind of raved about him all spring and what he looked like coming in and what he looked like during spring. And, you know, kind of his maturity and his work and his routines. So this guy's on his way.
And then to go back to Sandy Leon for a quick second, just the luxury to have a guy of his presence, his veteran presence as an NRI in camp and as a guy in the alternate training site. Most teams can't say they have that type of luxury to have a guy like him when something like this happens for you guys.
No, that was a great sign by our guys upstairs. You know, it's hard to find you know, guys behind the plate with that kind of experience and can handle a staff, you know, and really a good fit for us. So, yeah, it was a great sign this winter. And obviously, I think, you know, one thing in, you know, just managing long enough that you're going to need that guy. Some of the catchers are getting beat up somewhere down the line. Something happens and you're going to lose those guys for a couple of weeks. So, it's rare to not need that third, fourth catcher at some point during the season.
Let's go to Christina.
Hi, Don, two questions for you. The first is about Sandy. Have you, I guess, determined what sort of usage you'll have for the catchers with Alfaro the sideline?
I would say it would be, you know, somewhat 50-50, 55-45, 52-48. I mean, I think it's fairly close. I don't think it's like every other day type thing with these guys. It depends. Like, I think we can look at matchups a little bit. Obviously, Sandy's switch hitter. But I think it's pretty close. I don't think either guy you're going to say, I'm going to run him out 5-6 days a week, and the other guy gets to play every once in a while. So it's going to be more probably a general split, but not necessarily every other day.
And then my other question is, with Jazz hitting first and obviously maybe 2 days in a row at second, is this a lineup we might be able to see like this week moving forward, or is it just kind of?
Yeah, I guess we decide against the righty what we do. You know, Dickey's been good up there at the top. You know, Miggy probably with Marte out, looks like he solidifies that hole a little bit, kind of stay with that. In general, you know, I always talk, James and I talk about the lineups and different mix and match. So we'll see what we do up top. But in general, you know, our lineup will be what it is.
Daniel.
Thank you, Jason. Donnie, two questions. First one, John Berry at third base, and just the way he played defense today. I know it's not surprising because he can do it, but especially today he had a couple of heads up plays there.
Yeah, really good. You know, the play he makes early and it probably goes unlooked. That ball he comes to get and gets that guy, that force at second, keeps that guy out of scoring position. Though, and at that point, it's nothing game. But those are outs you get that takes pressure off the pitcher, because now he doesn't have a runner in scoring position. He's not, you know, worried about every pitch he throws to give up a run. So those plays are big. But Bert obviously is a guy that could play all over, and comfortable with him there at third. So, yeah, nice job today from him. And hopefully it gives him a chance to start getting in there a little bit and, you know, get his back going. He's been all, you know, I think regular at-bats would help him right now.
And also in that fifth inning, once again with two outs, Aggie with the double, Duval with the base hit, and of course we can't forget about what Sandy did going from first to third on the bunt from Trevor.
Yeah, I'll start with Sandy because that's a heads up, you know, base running there. That Franco comes all the way across in front of the mound, and looks like he's going to go to second, so the shortstop's holding, and I think just heads up by Sandy. That should be a pretty good video, right? Like four guys chasing him across the field. And then I thought Aggie's been kind of pressing a little bit. It feels like he's been kind of like, you know, he's not feeling quite right, you can tell. And he's been pressing, but that was a big hit for us. Then obviously Adam, you know, adding on, play Adam makes him right field again. It's like crazy. I told him, I'm like, I don't know, but I don't know who's put you in left your whole career, but he looks like a right fielder.
Steve Wine.
Don, Trevor with the low pitch count, a couple of real quick innings. I think he had 5 first pitch outs. What goes into that for him?
I think attacking, but also a club that's aggressive to the fastball. And again, doesn't mean you can't throw first pitch fastballs. It basically means you better locate. You can't leave balls out in the middle of the plate, things like that. So I think it's a combination that you can get some, you know, quick innings with these guys because they are aggressive to the heater, but you got to get it in good spots or they can make you pay also. So I thought both things happened. They stayed aggressive and he got the ball to good spots.
Go back to Kelly.
Donnie, do you see anything in particular, any reason maybe that this team just seems to be so good with 2 outs? Nearly half the runs have came on 2 out runs last season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a reason for it necessarily. And this is something in 3 weeks from now, you may be saying why we're not hitting with 2 outs. So it's a small sample, but I think it does go back to just staying with a plan and kind of staying with it. Each guy and not getting caught up in anything that's going on in the game other than having that plan. Don't give up at bats. And next thing you know, you got a couple of guys out there and somebody pops one. So I would say that as much as anything.
And with Birdie at third, was that just an off day for Andy?
Well, we're a little nicked up, quite honestly. Andy's a little nicked up. Coop's been a little nicked up. So we're going to need to tread water here for a few days to get everybody kind of back to going. So we'll see what it looks like, you know, with the day for Andy and see what it looks like tomorrow. But we'll be careful with him. Same with Coop, was careful with him today. You know, we can't afford really to be missing guys for long periods of time. So we're going to probably be a little cautious and trust the guys that we have on the bench that we can get it done with those guys.
Sorry if I missed it, Donnie, but do you know where Andy got a little nicked up? Was it in the game yesterday? Or
I think he's had it kind of creeping on him for a few days. So we're just going to watch him to make sure he doesn't go too far.
Josh Moser.
Hi, Skip. You got a 10-game road trip coming up. What type of challenges does that present for your team?
Well, each team presents a challenge. You know, first you go to San Francisco, you know, who's got a good club. They present a lot of matchup problems because they have a, you know, decent-sized bench, but they're lefty, they're righty you. They can throw a bunch of lefties at your starters. So that ballpark's a challenge. You play a lot of wind there. But I think just travel in general, and teams are all good. You know, you got to go to Milwaukee, deal with that building. And their club is a club that's always tough on teams. They mix and match you again with pitching. So it just goes on and on, really. I think just being on the road, we've been a pretty decent club on the road so far and kind of last year. I think our guys just kind of stay the same, but we'll just try to day-to-day it, right, and try to put wins on the board. We'll go from there.
Ethan?
Thanks, Jason. Don, how, you know, speaking about that road trip, how nice is it to have a clean game like this where you go 7 from Trevor and then just Floro, Yimmy, 8-9? How nice is it to have that going into the road trip? And then I got one more for you after.
It is nice. And that was big by Trevor today because of just a couple of guys nicked up. You don't use your hitters, things like that. But our bullpen kind of got reset with the off day. And we're in pretty good shape right now. You never know, that could change in a day or 2 days in a row. But when you get good starts like that, it really sets you up, especially if you can get a few runs, not being that, you know, game that gets into extras and things like that. So we're in pretty good shape in the pen right now. It is big when your starters give you that kind of game.
And then with Trevor, he just graduated from prospect status today, and he never reached top 100. What did people miss with this guy, and what should people expect from him going forward as they get to know him on a national level?
Not quite sure what they missed. You know, this guy's been getting better and better, and this is a guy I think really benefited from coming up last year and getting a few starts. He really learned his lessons and went to work this winter. This is a guy that made huge, I shouldn't say huge, but big strides. And he's been really mature about the way he goes about it. His routines are good. He's paid attention to the scouting reports and what he needs to do to get people out on both sides of the plate, all his pitches. He's just been very mature about the way he goes about it. And this guy's stuff is really good. I mean, I think sometimes I know he's the number one pick of ours, but sometimes the longer lanky guys take a while to get that delivery together to sync it up. And I think part of that is just getting his strength and everything together. So he's going to be good.
I guess I'm going to be a little selective here because we got to get on a plane. So let's do Jordan and we'll wrap with Steve.
Yeah, hey, Donnie, I probably should have asked Kim this when we got her this afternoon, but after Neider got optioned, you guys have a spot open on the active roster. Have you guys figured out who's going to take that 26th spot?
We haven't. We're talking about that. It's kind of the reason that we left it open today because we didn't know exactly which way to go with it. And in whatever way we were able to go today, we weren't going to be able to use them today anyway. So, I can't answer that yet. So I guess I can. We haven't figured it out yet.
All right, then Steve, go ahead.
John, I'm sorry. What are the injuries for Anderson and Coop?
Coop had a little groin, and then Andy had a little thing on the right side that he felt a little bit. I think now right side, left side.
Marlins manager Don Mattingly after a 3-0 Marlins win yesterday. Marlins improved to 8-9. The Orioles fall to 8-10. Marlins and the Giants square off again tonight, late one. Locally over here on the East Coast, San Francisco versus Miami, 9:45, Castano versus Aaron Sanchez. That means we are on the air at 9:15 with Marlins on deck. And as always, we hope you'll find some time to join us on the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.